Y'all welcome Safe Haven.
Special way we met. The preacher asked if anyone would like me this man. Then he looked right straight at me and said, I'd see that hand. It was an old-fashioned call when Spirit of the Lord came down. I knew his role when he blessed my soul and turned my whole life around. Send that grace to the hallowed place. Lord began to fall. Left the view, found life in you, an old-fashioned altar call.
That altar seemed 100 miles away.
so glad I made the move and stepped out anyway. Cause something got a hold of me as I walked down the aisle. Jesus saved my soul and I just shouted for a while. It was an old-fashioned altar call when the Spirit of the Lord came down. Hallelujah's roll when he blessed my soul and turned my whole life around. Send that grace in a hallowed place, glory began to fall. Left the pew, found life in you, an old-fashioned altar call. It was an old-fashioned altar call when the Spirit of the Lord came down. Hallelujah's roll when he blessed my soul and turned my whole life around. Send that grace in a hallowed place, glory began to fall. Left the pew, found life in you, an old-fashioned altar call. I left the pew, found life in you, at that old-fashioned altar call. Good morning, good morning. It is morning. What an honor for Safe Haven to be back at Hunt Springs. You know, we've had a little downtime recently, so we're just tickled to death to have any opportunity to hit the road again and do what we believe God has called us to do. We hope everybody is in good health this morning, and we pray God's protection over every member of this church and every member of this community, as well as this group. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes, introduce the members of the group, and we're going to get back to singing. Most of you folks know us pretty well by now, so we're going to run through this. Over here on the far end is the guy that owns Safe Haven, whatever that means. And once in a while, sings a pretty good tenor part, at least on Cooling Water. From Zebulon, North Carolina, would you make welcome Mr. Tim Daugherty. Our resident celebrity all the way from the big city of Castalia, North Carolina, Mr. Jerry Winstead. From Wake Forest, singing the little girl's part.
Yeah, right.
Would you make welcome this morning Mr. Mike Spence.
Amen.
My name is Wayne Coates. I'm from Lumberton, North Carolina, and I sing whatever these guys leave for me to sing. That's right, nothing. Together, we're Safe Haven. If you're happy to see us this morning, give God another half clap of praise.
Amen. They say we can't pray in Jesus' name. We have to be careful what we say. You might offend someone with different ways. Don't say the pledge, don't preach the truth, 'cause it's no longer absolute. That leaves me with just one thing to say. I'm a flag-waving American Christian, living in the land of the free. I believe in Jesus, I pledge allegiance unto one God or we. I'm gonna stand with you for what is true. I'm gonna live out loud. I'm American, I'm Christian, and I'm proud.
Amen. Boast or brag, but men have died for that old flag and what it means for all who would be free. So when you pledge, say the phrase, under God don't hesitate, 'cause he's the one who gives us liberty. And when it comes to truth and right, I will stand my ground and fight, for God is God and that's enough for me. And it's absolutely true to say, Jesus is the only way through.
pledge allegiance under one God, or we. I'm going to stand with you for what is true. I'm going to leave out loud. I'm American, I'm Christian, and I'm proud. Yes, I'm a flag-waving American Christian, living in the land of the free. I believe in Jesus, I pledge allegiance under one God or we. I'm going to stand with you for what is true. I'm going to leave out loud. I'm American, I'm Christian, and I'm proud.
I'm going to stand with you for what is true. I'm going to leave out loud. I'm an American, and I'm Christian, and I'm proud.
I'm American, and I'm Christian, and I'm proud.
God's done so many things for me, but when he changed my life, it was the greatest of all miracles.
I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb.
And I
believe there is healing in the touch.
Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
I have seen the lowest sick soul have life anew, be made pure and whole. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb.
And I
believe there is healing in the touch.
A blind man can see. Leper is healed.
And a captive set free. A woman is rejoicing. Her son did not die.
All these things happen when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. Gone were all the heartaches, the troubles and strife.
Cooling water, 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 coo
Yes, it is.
Cooling water
feels like
cooling water.
You know it is.
Cooling water.
Praise God.
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 It's cooling water.
Cooling water.
It's cooling water.
Cooling water.
It's cooling water.
Cooling water.
Cooling water.
Cooling water.
It's cooling water
from Grandma's way.
Oxygen, please. Oh, you're out of your mind. Brother, you got to do something with that.
You got to do something with it.
You got to do something with that, brother. I thought you were my brother. It's good to be able to laugh.
Amen.
So much turmoil in this world. Got a message the other day that 229 missionaries over in Afghanistan were scheduled to be assassinated Friday, but God put a hand in there.
Yes.
God put a hand in there. He said, no, you ain't. They've been spared. Thank Amen. God. Thank God. He still moves if you believe it. He still moves. It was a moment of grace.
Amen.
It was a moment of grace. It was a moment of grace when I got saved. It was a moment of grace. I want you to listen. Brand new song. If I can find it, Jerry. Listen to the words of this song.
She was down on her knees. Stop. Never count God out. Amen. She was down on her knees. She would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands. They turned to Jesus just to see what he'd say. But the Lord just wrote in the sand. They all walked away. They heard him say, let the sin free cast the first stone. With tears on her face, all her sin was erased. She stood in a moment of grace. Now the thief on the cross knew that he life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past. He had done nothing right. He would sure lose his fight. And his time was running out fast. Then he took his last shot, said to Jesus, why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gates. And Jesus forgave, and all his sin was erased. He died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Undeserved favor. Soul-bound and anchored, I'm married
man of grace.
Let's see if your life was like mine.
See, I've been counted out by the self-righteous crowd who would say that I'm not worthy to live. They say you've drifted too far. You're so stuck in sin's mire. You need a miracle that only God can give. Oh, but Jesus passed by, and with this reply, he said, I choose you. Just live for me today. And Jesus forgave, and all my sin was erased. And I stood in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Undeserved favor.
Thinking more about heaven today than ever before. I've seen friends and loved ones make their final journey as angels came to carry them to that land so bright and fair. Oh, what rapture on their faces! Glimpse of glory, their eyes beholding all the splendor waiting there. Seems these days I'm thinking more of heaven, friends and loved ones waiting on that bright and golden shore. There's a longing in my soul, and it's drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more and more. Somehow I feel that day is soon approaching when Jesus will return to call his waiting bride away. We'll join the holy angels and saints who've gone before us, and I can hardly wait to meet him on that day. Seems these days I'm thinking more. Friends and loved ones waiting on that bright and golden shore. There's a longing in my soul, and it's drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more and more. Seems these days I'm thinking more of heaven.
my soul, and is drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more and more. There's a longing in my soul, and it's drawing me toward homeland. And it seems these days I'm thinking about heaven more and more.
Amen. We're going to sing one more before I do. I don't know if it's you or it's because I've gotten older, I've seen more people pass away. Mm. And I'm not going to claim COVID. When it's your appointed time to go, it's your appointed time to go.
That's right.
It's a fact.
That's right.
You can go hide in the deepest shelter you want. When it's time to draw that last breath, it's time to go. The fact is, are you ready to go?
Amen. That's right.
Did you pack your bags? I've seen a lot of people. My wife is bad for that. She'll pack about 10 bags and go on a 2-day trip. And she's like, told you, bro. Lord have mercy. And she's always forgetting something. Always.
That Levis
she'll
bag.
Get, she'll, it's that bag that had, I don't know, whatever it was, but she had to have it. I'm like, okay, go to the store. Get it. Always forgetting. Folks, never forget Jesus. When your bags are packed, never forget Jesus.
Yep.
Keep him with you. We need him more today than anything.
Yes.
But people leaving us, I can't wait. I can't wait to reach the other side of Jordan. Amen. My mom wants to sing this song, Wayne.
Okay, bud.
She talked about it the other day. I see in her eyes. She's 86 years old. She ain't got many days left. She ain't got many days left. And she told me, Dad, I sit there and cried. She ain't got many days left. But she said, I've come way too far. Way too far to go back to where I was at.
Amen.
Too many miles behind me, too many trials are too, too many tears, oh, they help me to remember. There's just too much to carry, to lose. I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to somewhere up ahead, there is clear water, and defeat is one word I just won't use.
Too many sunsets. My feet have walked through too many treasures.
glory.
We shall behold Him. We shall behold Him. Face to face, our Savior.
Y'all give Safe Haven another hand. As we get ready this morning to come before the Lord, I just want to open up in prayer if we can. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for the blessings that we have. Lord, I just ask that you would be with us, that you would guide, direct us. And Lord, for the next few minutes, Lord, you just let us. Have a moment of the grace that Safe Haven just sang about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you enjoyed Safe Haven this morning, and y'all give him another hand. I love music, and I've heard it said before that music plows the heart so you can plant the Word of God deep in your heart. And that's what we're here for this morning. And whether y'all know it or not, I hope you enjoyed the music, but you was going to get preached at today. Amen? Because I had already written a sermon last week on chapter 8 of John about the woman caught in adultery. Brother Tim and I got our dates mixed up, and he had already prepared a sermon about the man in the middle for this morning. And then yesterday morning, it was just one of them mornings that I just needed a glimpse of God's glory and His grace. And the Lord just gave me this scripture, so I wrote another sermon for you to hear today. Have you ever had one of them weeks that you just wish you could tell everybody to stop talking? Just let the chaos rest. Just quit telling me how you're going to help me and what you're going to do when things just look like they're getting worse and worse. You know, there's a group I used to listen to a lot in the 70s, and they used to sing this song, and even after I got saved, I loved this song. And it started off, it says, I know a place where ain't nobody crying. I know a place where ain't nobody worried. I know a place where the lying faces are no longer lying to the races. I know a place. This morning, I know a place. And that place has got a name, and it's Jesus Christ. You know, some days we just need to be quiet and listen for God to speak to us. And that's what King David, in all his greatness, in all his victories, in all his failures, in all that God had redeemed him from, and all that God had led him to do. That's what David says in Psalm 62, verse 1. He says, my soul waits in silence for God only. This word only, or this word alone, David uses it here in verse 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 9. It must be important. He says, when chaos and crisis is all around me, when my enemies have surrounded me, when I don't know what to do, he says, sometimes I just need to find a place and silently sit and wait for God to speak or act on my behalf. This morning, I just want to encourage you to only trust God, because He alone can be trusted all the time. There's nothing else in this world, nothing else in this life. Let me tell you, praise, pride, people, or profit, none of those things last. They all fade away. David says, I know a place that you can find rest. That word rest means peace. He says, I wait in silence for God to speak or act on my behalf. That's the situation that David's in, and he says, here's the reason, because from Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. When he's talking about his salvation, he's talking about my deliverance. Whatever's going on in your life this morning, God can deliver you from it. Whatever is going on in your life this morning, there's only one deliverer, and His name is Jesus Christ. I don't care what nobody or nothing promises you to do, nobody can deliver you except Jesus Christ. He can not only deliver you through your troubles in this world, but He can deliver you into the presence and the peace and the rest of God throughout all eternity. And David says, look, behold, only God can do this. Only God can my soul be silent so that I can block out everything else and I can just wait to hear God to speak to me. He says that He is my deliverer. He's my rock. This idea of rock, my favorite psalm, and they have it on their logo. It's from Psalm 27, verse 2. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Verse 2 says, He is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread when evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh? Who shall my heart fear? When he talks about a rock, he's talking about a place of safety. He's talking about a place of stability. It's the idea of being on the battlefield. Your enemies are surrounding you. Troubles is everywhere. And God, in Psalm 27, David says, He lifts me up on a rock and then my head is above my enemies. When you say Jesus Christ is your rock, you're talking about He is the only thing that is stable. I am so tired, and I'm not kicking masks, I'm not kicking vaccines, I'm not here to do that, but I am so tired of people saying, we are trusting in the science, and then you turn to the next channel and the data has changed. They make the plan fit what they want to say. We're trusting the science. Science says this. Well, whose science? You got 31 science. It's not like ice cream. You can't have one for whatever your flavor is. But that's the way everything in life is. It's unstable. There's only one person that's stable. And that's your rock and your salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. His word never changes. His truth never changes. David says, look, my soul just found a quiet place. And that quiet place is Jesus. He's stable. He delivers me from my troubles. That don't mean that the troubles won't be there tomorrow, Brother Wayne. But it means He's going to give me some peace right now. He's my stronghold. This idea of stronghold, or the idea of a fortress, is the idea of being in a walled city protected. And it's so high that your enemies can't climb over it. The foundation is so strong they can't dig under it. The wall is so thick they can't chisel through it. He says, look, He's my stronghold. When the storms come, in a minute He says, He's my refuge. It's a place of shelter where I can rest, though the rains may fall hard. He said, this is why I can trust in God. He is my salvation. He is my rock. He's my stronghold. Guess what? When I'm seated on the rock of my salvation, I shall not be greatly shaken. May I tremble a little bit? Yep, but I ain't going to fall. David says, I know this from experience. And then, look, you always got to have a crisis to understand how good you got it with God. Amen? So look, that's the situation David's in. He says, now here's the crisis. He says, how long will you assail a man? How long will you attack a man? He's talking about his enemies right here. He's talking about a problem that's going on. And he's talking to himself here too, I believe, because this parallels kind of Psalm 39, where David is praying to God about some things that he has done. It says here that you can't depend on people. It says here that, look, you better not believe in me, in men, or in money, is basically what this psalm is talking about. They will all let you down. Here, David Platt points out, looking at this verse, that David knew what it meant to be somebody. Think about it. He's a pretty young guy, and what did he do? He killed Goliath. He stood up against the Philistines, and he stood there in place of Israel. He represented the whole nation Israel. He killed the Philistines' giant. Saul liked him. Saul praised him. The people even wrote songs about him. David wasn't that old when they said, you know, if Saul, King Saul, killed 100, David killed 1,000. His fame, his honor, his pride, he could have trusted in them things, but where did they get him? King Saul wanted to kill him just because his name, his renown had got better than Saul's had. David says here, look, how long will you sell a man that you might murder him, all of you? Here's that word again of only or alone. In other words, who can I trust that eventually won't let me down? I'm paraphrasing. Everybody sooner or later will. He goes on to say here that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall or like a tottering fence. In other words, David says, y'all see me like somebody, though things is going good for me, things look good, y'all think y'all can take me down a notch. Y'all see me like an unstable wall. Y'all see me like a fence that's not going to last. And y'all think y'all can just take me down. See, sometimes, here's what we trust in. We trust in other people thinking we're doing good. We're people pleasers. You know, sometimes I might find my worth in Tim and the guys or my wife or some of my friends thinking, you know, the old preacher, he's pretty good. He tries hard. He's following the Lord. He's doing good. In other words, I might think, long as I get y'all's approval, I'll be happy. Now, here's the secret to that. Pride goeth before the fall. See, if I find that my trust, my happiness, my peace, my rest comes from y'all's approval, I've just made myself into y'all's God. And guess what? I'll let you down. And when I let you down, I let myself down. But if I trust in God, He'll never let me down. He'll never let you down. Now, if I trust in you to lift me up, to make me feel good, guess what? You're not off the hook. Y'all will let me down too. David says this. Look, David says this about all his enemies and his people. He says, look, they have canceled together only to thrust him down from his high position. So if y'all build me up, sooner or later you're going to be like, well, I need to knock him down a peg or two. He says here, look, they delight in falsehood. Like, some people are hypocrites. Did y'all know that? Some people will tell you they like you. They'll even be nice to you, right? Till you get outside, then they'll be like, did y'all know what Tim done this morning before y'all got here? Then they talk about you. See, when we trust in people making us feel better, it's not going to last. Pride in people will let you down. If I depend on myself, I'll let myself down. If I depend on you to lift me up, sooner or later you'll let me down. David says it this way, and I said Psalm 27 is my favorite psalm, and every time I used to read this, it used to worry me, because David says, Lord, don't forsake me. even though my mother and father have forsaken me. I said, well, my mama would never forsake me. That's what I was thinking. But think about it. A lot of y'all know my mama. One of the most godly women I know. But if I trust my mama more than God, my mama will eventually let me down. She might not leave me without food, or she might not turn me away at her door, but we all in certain ways fail. Look at David. David was a man after God's own heart. Yet, going with this, with the choir director in this psalm right here, it goes all the way back to 1 Chronicles. When David, in the height of building a tent to put the ark in and to get everybody to worship God, and this psalm was to be sung there, in all of that, David numbered the people to see how great he'd been. And it displeased God. People and pride and praise from people will always let us down. But God never will. David goes on to tell us here that they delight in falsehood. They bless you with the mouth, but they inwardly curse you. This doesn't mean curse you like use cuss words against you. It means they would like to see something bad happen to you. And if you just fast forward just a little bit and go down just a little bit to verse 9, where it talks about men of low degree and vanity of men and how they, them of a rank or of a lie. And it goes on to say there that you're not to trust in riches. It says because they'll let you down too. And it says that you're not to be violent. This idea of them saying one thing to you and then cursing you under their breath or wishing something bad happened to you under your breath is this. Often, self-righteousness is basically me setting a standard for life by the way I live or the way I want to. And to do that, I like to point out other people's flaws. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees was like, you're wrong. You're wrong. You got to live like this. But they set them their standard by themselves, not by God. So sometimes we make ourselves feel better. I need a little peace. I need a little rest. I need just to have a break here where everybody's not bothering me and I'm doing good. And the way we do that is to point out everybody else's faults. That's sin. David says, don't trust in taking people down a notch to lift yourself up. You need to trust in the only true God, the one that never changes, the one who is our standard. And we'll get to that more in just a minute in the application of this. So David says you can't trust in pride, you can't trust in the praise of others, and you can't trust in people to always be there for you. And then in verse 5, he comes right back and there he gives a command. So, if you're looking for peace this morning, if you're looking for rest this morning, if you're looking for a deliverer, if you're looking for a stronghold, David says here you need to command your soul. Say, soul, wait in silence for God alone. Some days you just need to sit down like I did yesterday morning. And say, Lord, I got a pretty good sermon here. Please bless it, help it. You know what, Lord, let me know. The people just need to know they can trust me today. That's all they need. Don't try to get fancy. Just tell them I'm their rock. I'm their salvation. I'm their stronghold. I'm their refuge from the storm. Some days all we need to do to our friends and loved ones is let them know to trust only God, because he's the only one that can be trusted all the time. In verse 5, he goes on to say, for my hope is from him. In other words, my expectation of deliverance, of peace, of rescue My expectation is only fulfilled in God. No one else can do these things. He is my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Now, do you see a pattern here from verse 1 to here? When David keeps repeating this, he's saying, look, if you're going to trust, you can only trust God because he's the only one that can be trusted all the time. And he says, here, I have to remind my soul that. Sometimes I got to find that place, that quiet place where I can just sit and God can remind me that he's still in control. This morning we prayed. You know what we prayed? If anybody's here not saved today, that they'd find salvation in Jesus Christ. Then we prayed, if anybody here today is saved, is any of y'all saved? I'm glad some of y'all are. Amen. Here was our prayer for y'all, that you submit fully to the leadership of Jesus Christ in your life before you leave here. That's what David says. Some days I just got to command my soul. Soul, you need to wait in silence for the Lord. Verse 7, he says, on God my salvation and my glory rest. This idea of glory is the idea of honor, and the idea of honor in the Bible is the idea of weight or worth. He says, you know what? You know why I'm worth something? Because I'm with Jesus. It's not what I've done, it's what Jesus has done for me. It's not what you've done, it's what Jesus has done for you. You want to be honored? Be honored for being known to be a Christian. Been praying for Afghanistan, the Christians there, our friends there, the ones that helped us there. And as Brother Tim said, God interceded for them. You know what they're known for? Being Christians in a Muslim country. They like, have you got a home? Have you got a house? Have you got a nice car? I'm a Christian. You know, it's nothing wrong with being a cowboy. But you ought to be a Christian first. Christian cowboy. Nothing wrong with being a fisherman. But you ought to be a Christian first, fisherman second. Same thing with being a banker or a truck driver or whatever you do. One time, I was coming back out of, I guess, Seattle, and I was coming back across, and the roads was going to be closed, and I got into Wyoming, and I got into Cheyenne. The roads was closed, and I went to bed that night in my truck, and I got up the next morning. It was on Sunday morning. I always get up early, and it was just uncommonly quiet, and I looked out the window, and the snow was up about this high on the hood of my truck. I could just see out about this much out the window from my sun visor. And that snow was on top of my truck. It was on my sleeper. And I got back there in that sleeper and got my Bible. And I'll never forget this. It was the quietest place I've ever been in my life. It was like I was blanketed by the grace of God. There was just this clean white everywhere I could see when I was looking out of my sleeper, out the windshield. And then you read God's Word. You know, some days we just need that quiet place, and God is the only quiet place that we have. Verse 8, the tone changes here from David talking about himself and what he needs to do to the people in the congregation. Like I said, this goes all the way back to 1 Chronicles. Here he says, trust in him all times. O people, that's y'all, say us. Only trust in God is what David is saying. Look, here's what I want y'all to know. If y'all don't remember nothing else today, only trust in God because he can be trusted all the time. This is what David's saying. You're talking about the king of Israel. He defeats all his enemies. He's at peace all around him. Everybody's praising him. Songs is written about him. And David says, I can't trust myself. I can't trust my friends. The only one I can trust is God because he got me this far and he's going to take me on home. That's the message as Christians and the believers we need to carry out into the world. And he says, because you can't trust people or prophets. Look what he says here. Trust in the Lord all the time. Pour your heart out before him. God is a refuge for us. He's the shelter from the storm. Whatever is bothering you this morning, here's David's advice. Pour your heart out to God. Psalm 51, David had sinned against God. Did God use people in his life? Yes. Did God use friends in his life? Yes, he sent Nathanael over there to confront him with his sin. Nathanael even said, David, the man you said ought to be killed for this is you. Then David cries out, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, he cries out to God. He says, cleanse me because I've sinned against you and you only. Now, did he sin against other people? Yes, but he saw his sin against God first. He says, I need to be cleansed by you. He says, when you dip the hyssop in the water and wash me, then and only then will I be washed. Will I be forgiven? Will I be restored? Some days we just need to get in a quiet place, and instead of going on Facebook, ranting and raving and fussing, or calling everybody up, telling them what we don't like about somebody else or about our political opponents or whatever it might be, we just need to get in a quiet place and say, God, here's what's really bothering me. God, my heart hurts. It might even be, God, I don't really know what's wrong. I just don't feel good. God, can you just pick me up a few minutes? Set me on a rock. Can I just rest with you just for a few minutes? And then, Lord, when I see your glory, can I go share that with somebody else? You know, the best way to revive your soul, go share with somebody else what God's just done in your life. God works in our lives so we can share it with other people. We can lift other people up by letting them know that they can only trust God. That's the gift that we can give to other people. He says, men of low degree are only vanity or only breath or of nothingness, and men of rank are lie or they are illusion. In other words, this is going on right now with critical theory and everything else. People are deciding, like, you got the haves and you got the have-nots. Now, you know, with me, if I was a have-not, I mean, I was born on that side of the tracks, we got all the answers. Then you got the people that are highly educated or wealthy or whatever, and they say, no. Here, you need to listen to me. I know what to do. David says, guess what? I don't care if you was born on the left of the tracks or the right of the tracks. It's all empty. Why? Because it all passes away. And he goes on to speak about money here and profit. He says, look, don't count on and trust in money. The Bible speaks about this over and over, not to trust in money. David says here, if it's ill-gotten gains, in other words, from gambling, stealing, swindling, tricking, I don't care if you got a bunch of money put up somewhere, hid in a stump hole, you can't trust in it. Proverbs says that it will fade away. It does not last. It goes on to say, nor does a crown of life last. In other words, the things that you are prideful of right now, all them things will pass away. There's nothing wrong with making money. David goes on to say, if riches increase, this is by honest means. Life's been bad. I don't know what to do about it, but they're going to give me some extra hours. I'll work harder. I'll make more money, and everything will be okay. You know, here a while back, I thought we was doing good. I got to the end of the month, and I had more money than month. Right? That looked pretty good. And then Mona says, there's water all under the sink. So I open up the door and the garbage disposal. I don't know how in the world it's a hole inside the garbage disposal and water's just pouring out of it from where we just washed dishes. So my money that made it past the end of the month went for a new garbage disposal. You get my point? Just because you think I got a little extra don't last. David said, don't count on that. You need to trust in God. Now, I want to close with this. I want you to get this. You can only trust in God. Your pride, people's praise, people themselves, or profit cannot satisfy you, cannot give you security, cannot give you stability. Only God can do that. Now, look how he closes this. Verse 11, he says, once God has spoken, twice I've heard this. y'all probably seen from Facebook, that we've got new puppies. I've been trying to train those puppies. Unsuccessfully. I say come. Sometimes they do if they're close enough to the refrigerator to get a treat. But most of the time I have to keep saying, come, 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 which does no good because it just teaches them that I'll keep repeating myself like I do to my grandkids till they come. Amen? Isn't that what most of the time we do? Somebody tells us something, they have to tell us three or four times before we hear it the first time. Here's what David says. God spoke one time. I listened twice. God said, I am all powerful. I got the power. He says, but I temper my power with loving kindness. Look what this verse says. Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. God is all powerful. No matter what you think this morning, God's in control. He's always been in control, and he will always be in control. God has got the power to save. God's got the power to judge. Here's the good news about God's grace and mercy. It says his loving kindness tempers his power. God shows loving kindness to us. David says, and your loving kindness is yours. And he speaks to God right here. He says, oh, Lord. And then he says, you recompense a man according to his work. God is all powerful and all loving, and he pays us for what we do. Now, in chapter 7 of John, the religious leaders and the people of Jerusalem asked Jesus, what is the work of God that will bring us salvation? And Jesus said this, the work of God is to believe in him whom he sent. You think you can make your way to heaven? You know what you got to do? Just believe in Jesus. That's why you can trust in God. We get weighed down with the worries of the world. I'll close with this to give you some application to take home today. In chapter 11 of Matthew, Jesus is talking to the Jews that are self-righteous. John has lived under the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist. He's proclaimed Jesus. He's come to the end of his life, and he's even sent his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? You know, it's okay sometimes to have some doubts because we can talk to God about it. God explains to him to go back and tell John that they had seen the lame walk, the deaf hear, the mute talk, the blind see. John knew the Old Testament. He knew what that meant. Then he says that John the Baptist is the greatest of all men born on this earth. Why? Because he followed God's will. But then he says the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Now, this is the context that Jesus is saying this. So the Jewish leaders have told the people that you got to keep these laws. Trust us, we'll get you to heaven, but you got to do this, 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 and this. And Jesus says, why'd you tell them to do that? You've tied weights around them and put burdens on their shoulders that they can't carry. Why'd you tell them to do the very thing that y'all are not even doing? Then Jesus says this, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. As we look at this text, Jesus is painting a picture here of two ox yoked together. I'm going to give you a picture of horses because I know more about horses than I do ox, okay? If you was going to plow, and I never got to do this. I have worked a few horses, but my daddy used to plow all the time, and he loved it. He used to talk about it even after he was an adult. If you hook two horses together, what they're talking about, the yoke here, is a collar that they share. If you've got an older horse that is strong, you yoke him with a younger horse that you want to teach to plow. You know what that older horse does? He carries the weight. That young believer, they're not that strong in the faith yet. Jesus says, if you'll yoke up with me, I've already proved that I only say what God sent me to say. I only do the things that I've seen my Father do. He says, when the master says, gee, I'll go a little bit to the right and get you over there. If you start getting too far to the right, when my Father says, ha, I'll go back to the left. He says, I'll keep your path, your row straight. This morning, you having trouble trusting God in everything in your life? Jesus says, just take my yoke. It's easy. I'll do the work. You just need to partner up with me and trust me. The burden that you've been carrying all week long by yourself, oh, it's light. Because I'm the one that's going to carry it for you. Peter says it this way. Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Don't leave here today weighed down with the worries of the world, because Jesus wants to partner with you and carry that burden for you. Let us pray. Kind Father, I just pray that we just take this message to heart today. That, Lord, when we see the hurts of the world and the troubles of the world, and, Lord, some days we just don't know who to believe or what we can trust, that we will just say to ourselves, soul, be still. Be silent. I trust God to be my quiet place. Lord, just help us to pour our heart out to you and let you know what we feel, what we're thinking, and then, Lord, speak to us. Let us know that you are our rock, our salvation, our stronghold, our refuge. That, Lord, you'll deliver us from our troubles. You'll shelter us from the storms of life. Lord, you will be our strength and our stronghold. Lord, our faith will not be shaken because we have trusted in the only one who is trustworthy. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know you are the only one who ever lived on this earth according to God's will. I know you lived the life that I should have lived. Lord, I know and I acknowledge that I've not lived a life that was pleasing to God. I believe you died for my sins, was buried. 3 days later, you was raised to show that my sins have been paid for. Lord, I ask you to forgive me, give me a new life, and take control of that life. If you prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you've been saved a long time and you trust in God, you believe God is there for you, you know you're going to heaven, I just want to ask you this morning, when was the last time you just got silent, sat before God a few minutes, and considered if you've trusted people, yourself, your money, applause? Have you trusted any of those things more than you have God? If you have, this morning just say, Lord, today I want to submit to you to take control of my life. And Lord, I'm going to trust in you and you alone. Lord, I know you will bless me with things, but as I receive those blessings, help me use them for your glory and your good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can lock me up in prison and pull away the
Jesus this morning.
Jesus, then I can still go free. That I could still go free. Well, tell me what kind of man would reach down his hand and do this for me. Oh, I'm worthy to live and not fit to kill. Then a man on the cross put me in his will. Said that I could still go free. I never could quite understand why a king would want to leave his throne to die. To feel the pain of flesh, flesh and bone. Oh, then later trod that lonely path that led to Calvary, where those red blood stains, they broke all of my chains so that I could still go free. That I could still go free. Well, tell me what kind of reach down his hand and do this for me. Oh, I'm worthy
put me in His will. He said that I could still go free. That I could still go free. Well, tell me what kind of man would reach down his hand and do this for me. Oh, unworthy to live and not fit to kill, then a man on the cross put me in His will and said that I could still go free.
You know why I'm free today? Because He lives.
His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He fear is gone, because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives.
And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to
you to do, if you're in one accord with me this morning, I want you to stand up. If you know he believed that you can stand, if you can stand this morning, I want you to stand up. I want you to sing that chorus with us like you know he lives this morning.
Yeah.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he
had a good time in the house of the Lord today. Well, give the Lord a hand in his house. Amen. I love that song, and I hope you do, and I hope you'll remember the reason we can trust God is because Jesus Christ on the cross displayed the greatest trust of anybody on earth when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He gave up all his glory, all his power, died for our sins, was buried. And because he trusted God, 3 days later, God raised him to life. That's why we can trust God. It's because of the resurrection. So remember that as we depart this place. Offering buckets is here and in the back. Also, the Bible study that was scheduled to start this Wednesday night or last Wednesday night has been postponed. We're going to reschedule it for September the 1st. It's easier to reschedule it and then cancel it than keep waiting to see what's going to happen with sickness. So right now, Wednesday night, 6:30 on September the 1st, Pastor James is going to lead a Bible study on eschatology about the things to come. Feel free to join us for that. Let us close in prayer. Tim, I'm going to ask you if you'll pray. Amen. And we want to thank all our guests today. And if you're here for the first time or you're not sure, either one of these doors, the restrooms and all is at the top of the steps. Y'all feel free to use them. And thank y'all for coming. Amen.